Thank you for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford with The Truth Ministries. Listen every Sunday morning for his weekly message and follow him on the web at www.thetruthministries.us.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome again to another broadcast here. We're so glad to be with you. This is David Clark, and I'm so thankful for another Sunday morning to come and bring the word to you on the radio, via Facebook Live or however else that you're listening today. And so we're so thankful for you all, for everyone that's up early, getting ready for church, hopefully, and going to make your way somewhere to worship the Lord today, because he's certainly worthy, isn't he? He's done so much for us. We could never thank him enough for all that he's done and for all that he's going to do. He's just wonderful. It's such a joy to serve him today. Folks are going to get up today and do all kinds of things, but I'm so thankful. My eyes have been opened to truth, and that I serve him in holiness and righteousness, and that today is the Lord's day. This is a Sabbath day. We're here today to worship the Lord. So let's do that today. I'm going to get into the word here, and I will give you a disclaimer before I start. I preached last night at the prison, and they're in Baker, and I shared this scripture that I'm going to share with you this morning. And so I know Sister Margaret and a couple of those others that were with me, this may be a little bit familiar to you, but I feel this burning in my soul this morning. It's still there. I can't get rid of it. The burden is still there for this word. So you just bear with me, and I hope the word blesses you today. Turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. John chapter 17. Let me flip over a few pages here. John 17, 1 through 5. And it says, reads like this: "These words spake Jesus, and lift up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth." Listen to verse 4. "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." We're talking today about the finished work of Christ. It is finished. Thank God for that. So what the first thing we have to establish here when we say it is finished is what the word "it" is referring to. Christ, his finished work on the cross, what was it that he completed? So let me give you some backstory here for maybe someone that's listening this morning that is not familiar with what we're talking about. I'll refer back to the Old Testament and how that it was the law that if there was to be remission for sins, if there was atonement for the house, if there was to be any sins forgiven, then that family must present an animal on the Day of Atonement for a sacrifice. They would take that animal to the priest, and the priest would offer up that animal as an atonement for the sins of the household. Now, every year this was done. Every year people had to atone for their sins, because there was no Christ at that time. Jesus had not come to fulfill that atonement at that time. And so we fast forward to the New Testament, where Jesus has fulfilled that place, that position. He has become the sacrificial lamb. And because he gave his life, and because he was a spotless and a sinless lamb, therefore he gave his life one time to pay the to provide remission for sins one time, and to give us victory one time, so that we don't have to sacrifice animals anymore. We don't have to take the animals to the priest in the temple once a year for the whole year previous of sins that we committed, because now we have an advocate with the Father, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So John 17, 1 through 5 here is a picture of Jesus as he is being crucified, or as he's about to be crucified. Listen how it reads here. It says here, These words spake Jesus and lift up his eyes to heaven, said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The finished work of Christ on the cross. Jesus is preparing to be crucified. He's preparing to be arrested. And the work that he had done, he had been sent here to be the answer to the world, the answer to the sin problem, the answer to the slavery, the death problem that the world had at the time. And so now Jesus is here. He's about to be crucified. Let's read further. John chapter 19 here, verse number 28 through 30. John 19, 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Now, this is after Jesus was arrested, after he was tried, and after he was put on the cross. Now, there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on a hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, I want to read you something here in my commentary. It says, it is finished. It's one word in Greek. It's tetelestai. It's a passive, perfect passive tense. It declares that the work was done and that the results will come. Not only was Jesus' redemptive work and mission finished, but all who believe can continue to draw on the work accomplished at Calvary. Neither Jesus nor God the Father needed to add anything to the work forever fulfilled and finished on the cross. Neither can we add to it in any way. It is finished as Christ's own answer to those who would say that our redemption needed some further work for victory over sin, Satan, or hell. When Jesus said those three words, it is finished, that sealed the deal. That word finished there in Webster's, it means to bring something to an end, to actually put finality to it. It's over with. The work is done. Nothing else needs to be done further. You'll never have to make adjustments to it. You'll never have to go back and redo anything he did because Christ brought it to an end. Now, and that word we just read, the word abolished there, also means to formally put something to an end. What is the it that we're talking about here? Well, there's three things that I want to bring to you this morning. 2 Timothy, I'm going to read. 2 Timothy 1 and 10, it says, but now is the hour, or now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He has abolished death this morning. Jesus' death on the cross, it was a final end to death for the believer. It put an end to death. So when we face the grave, when we die, the Bible says that it is appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We don't have to feel the sting of death anymore. We don't have to feel the pain of death. We don't have to fear what comes after death because death has been defeated. The grave has been swallowed up in victory. Jesus abolished death for the believers. He put an end to it. Now, when we die, we can say like Paul that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He looked at that thief on the cross and he said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Now, how could he mean that? Because that man was a thief, but because he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, death was put at an end for that man. He was therefore, as his soul left his body, he was transported from there to paradise with God. He didn't have to feel the sting of death because of his belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus abolished death. He finalized it. He put an end to it. He won victory over it for you and I today. I don't have to fear what comes after the grave. There's some folks today that are so afraid of what's going to happen when they die. They're so afraid of what's coming on the other side and what the end's going to be. But for the child of God, we don't have to fear what the end's going to be. We don't have to fear how this thing's going to work out because because Jesus put it at an end on the cross. He finalized it. The end of life for a believer is the beginning of life in the presence of God Almighty. He abolished death on the cross when he cried, "It is finished." That was the end of it, folks. He put the enemy in his place. All of earth knew, all of heaven knew that the debt was paid, that the remission for sin was paid for with the life of the precious Lamb of God. This morning, death is finished. Sin is finished on the cross because of Jesus Christ. It's finished today. So the word that we have for the sinner this morning, the word that we have for those that are born again, when we talk about death, we don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear sickness. You don't have to fear disease. You don't have to fear the things that come against you, because we know that at the end of this road, we're going to stand before the one who gave his life for us, and we're going to see him face to face. This is not the end, but this is the beginning. This is just the beginning of things that are to come. We have a glorious hope of a future with Christ. We have a promise of eternal life with him. He's laying up treasures on the other side for us because he's abolished death. It's not a thing that we have to fear anymore, because Jesus paid it all. Let's move on here. Let's read 1 Corinthians. Give me a moment while I turn there. 1 Corinthians. Now listen to me this morning. Jesus finished death. But here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to read a couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians 15, let's start in verse number 56. It says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." Verse 55, I like it. It says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We saw in 2 Timothy where Jesus defeated death. Now we read in 1 Corinthians where Jesus defeated sin on the cross. Now, why is that important for the believer today? Because before Christ died, there was no remission for sin. Not only remission for sin, there was no power for us to live above sin. There was no power for us to be sanctified and cleansed from sin. But the Word of God says here that Jesus, he abolished sin. He abolished death. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Because of Jesus taking sin to the cross and nailing sin on the cross and bearing the sins of the world on his shoulders, when he cried out to the Father, "It is finished," whenever the last breath left his lungs, whenever his spirit was transported up to heaven with God, listen, it was finished at that very moment. Sin had lost its power. Death had lost its grip. Now we operate in the supernatural. Now there's power to live above sin. Now there's power to live beyond death. The grave can't hold us. Now sin doesn't have to hold us bound, because Christ finished the work on the cross. He cried aloud, "It is finished." But what he was saying was, "I've just put an end to death for you. I've just put an end to sin for you. There's power available so that you don't have to feel the sting of death. There's power available so you don't have to live a life bound by sin." So to the sinner friend this morning, I want to remind you that if you're bound by chains of sin, if you're bound by the chains of bondage, by the addictions of this life, by the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, by bitterness, envy, malice, strife, whatever it may be, there is a remedy this morning. There is a power that works inside of the blood of Jesus. There is a deliverer this morning, and the way that you are delivered is through Jesus Christ and the completed work on the cross. There is no other deliverance from sin. The Bible said that he was given a name that is above every other name, and at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every
tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in his lordship, he takes on authority over death, and he takes authority over sin, and then he takes authority over sickness. He rules supreme today, seated at the right hand of God, and we have need of nothing but just to let Jesus be Lord of our life. If you have needs in your body, if you have needs in your marriage, if you have needs in your soul, you need to be saved. The answer cannot be found anywhere else, but only in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's a promise that you can take to the bank this morning, because Jesus won victory. Thanks be to God, the scripture says. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In his death, in his burial and resurrection, he woke up in victory over the grave. He raised in victory over sin. He offered himself as a sacrifice, as that lamb for atonement of the sins of everyone, everything that I've ever done and everything that he knew I would do. He gave atonement in himself so that sin is no more. He abolished sin, and now we live in victory. It is possible to live a life above sin. It is possible to live a life not fearing death, because Christ finished the work on the cross. Now you and I can live above that. Now let's read Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. Turn with me there if you have your Bible. Isaiah 53. Verse number 5 says, but listen, let's read verse number 4. Number 3. Let's read all of it. Verse number 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Listen here. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. With his stripes we are healed. This morning we've read how he defeated death. We've read how he defeated sin. Now I want to tell you this morning how that Jesus won victory for our healing. He provided the way for us to receive health and wellness. He provided the way for us to receive supernatural healing. In the finished work on the cross, the completed work of Christ, we have a healing provided in the atonement now, so we can go to God in prayer in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and we can believe and we can have faith in Jesus. And because of the finished work on the cross, the Bible says that with his stripes we have received our healing. Every time they beat him and every time they gave him a stripe, he was doing that for yours and for my healing today. Do you need a healing in your body? Do you need something done for you in your mind? Do you need Jesus to touch you today? Well, my friend, you don't have to look any further than the scripture this morning in Isaiah, where it said that he was wounded for our transgressions. That's our sin. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Not that we will be healed, and not that we could be healed, but we are healed this morning. We are healed today. Our healing is provided today in the completed work of Christ. Now, I want to address something today, and I struggled over and debated over whether I was going to say this on the air, but I feel the Holy Ghost this morning and I must obey him. I'm telling you, there's going to be folks that will tell you that Jesus doesn't heal anymore and that no one can reach God anymore, but I want to tell you that if you hear anything that is contrary to the word of God, you mark that person as a person that is operating under the influence of Satan, because the God that I serve, who resurrected on Calvary, from Calvary's cross, who went to the grave 3 days and he rose in power. My Jesus is able to heal today. My Jesus is able to deliver today. He's able to save today. He's able to set free today. And nobody can lie on him and say he can't do it, because I've seen too much. I've come too far now for you to tell me otherwise. I've seen too many miracles for you to convince me otherwise, because I know I have experienced his power. I've seen what he can do. I know he's a saver because I have been saved. I know he's a healer because I've been healed. I know that he's a changer because he changed my life. I know that Jesus is able to transform from the guttermost to the uttermost because I was there, friend. I know the power of Christ because I could feel him working in my soul this morning. I could feel the Holy Ghost, that wheel in the middle of a wheel. I can tell you today that Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. That Jesus isn't still in that grave, but he's resurrected at the right hand of God. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Jesus is still able to perform miracles today. He still answers prayer. He still heals. He still saves. And he's still working for you and I. There's no other name given. You tell me what program can heal like Jesus can. You tell me what doctor can work miracles like Jesus can. You tell me who can transform the life of those who are bound by sin like Jesus can. There's no other name this morning, friends, whereby we can be saved. You can't call on Buddha and see somebody get up out of the grave. You can't call on Allah and watch somebody's limbs be restored to health. You can't call on Muhammad or anybody else or these other false gods and watch a miracle take place. Elijah on Mount Carmel, he prayed to God and he answered by fire in the face of all those pagan idol worshipers to prove that God is a God that answers by fire today. Jesus is alive. The completed work on the cross was enough. It's enough this morning. You say, well, Brother David, you don't know how bad it is. You don't know how long I prayed for it. It doesn't matter, my friend, this morning. If you have to pray till you take your last breath, it doesn't change the fact that Jesus is able to heal and Jesus is able to deliver, because the word of God shall not lie. It's truth this morning, and we can believe it. He won victory over death. He won victory over sin. He won victory over our sickness and diseases. Listen, what else is there if we can't put our confidence in this Jesus? What else is there if we can't take him at his word? If the church has no power, if we don't believe in the power? Listen, you can blame this one and blame that one for why you haven't gotten what you need today. But the problem is not in the miracle worker. The problem is in us. The Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Listen to me. He said several times, your iniquities have separated you and your God. Jesus is not the problem today. The problem is we can't muster up enough faith to believe him and take him at his word. But I would challenge you this morning to put off everything you've heard, to cast aside every doubt, to cast aside every vain imagination, every stronghold, every lie the devil's told you, and take God at his word this morning and reach out in faith and take a hold of the miracle that you need in the name of Jesus. My God, he's able to heal and deliver right where you are this morning. Listen, I know this is a radio broadcast. I know that you're watching live. I know those things. You're not here with me physically, but if you could feel a glimpse, a fraction of what I feel in this radio booth, my God, somebody get up and walk. Somebody would get up and be healed. Somebody would rise up in the power of Christ and take him at his word. He's able this morning, and he's willing, and it's the will of God for us to be healed from our infirmities. It's the will of God for you to be healed today. Now, Brother David, why doesn't God heal everybody the first time that they ask? Listen to me. I don't know God's ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts are. All that I know is that, listen, If I say that I believe Jesus, if I say that I love him, if I say that he is who he says that he is, then listen, I can't say anything other than he hasn't done it yet, but my God, he's going to do it. I don't see it yet. I can't bicker and backbite and complain. I can't lie on him and say that he don't heal no more, because the word of God says that he's a healer. The word of God says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I know that he's a burden bearer. I can't say anything to the contrary, because I'd be lying on the word of God. What an awful thing it would be to hold it, to accuse God of not doing what his word says that he would do. He's faithful and he's true this morning, and he's a healer, and we can call on him in our time of trouble. Somebody worship the Lord. My God, Jesus will do what he says that he'll do. Jesus will do what he says he will do. I want to read this portion of scripture again here. The Bible says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Think about what he bore. Think about the sacrifice. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Some of us this morning, my God, I didn't plan to say this. Some of us take things so personal, like we took the stripes for it. Well, God, why ain't you healed me? I've suffered long enough. God, why haven't you done this? I've dealt with enough already. Why haven't you heard my prayer yet, God? I've seen enough. I've suffered enough. Listen, friends, except for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell this morning. We don't deserve anything. I don't deserve to be breathing the very oxygen in my lungs. It's only by the goodness and the mercy of God that my feet are still on top of the ground and not 6 feet under it. It's nothing that I deserve. If God heals anybody, it's not because we deserve it. It's because he's faithful and good, and he heals and he delivers because his word says that he will, and because he's a God that loves us and is merciful to us. I don't deserve him. I don't deserve the goodness of God, but he continuously pours himself out. He continuously proves himself. He's always faithful. Listen, there's a place in the book of Psalms where David said, if it wasn't for God, I'd already be dead. I'd already be gone. If it wasn't for the mercies of God, how dare us try to lie and say that Jesus doesn't hear us, or that he's making us suffer, or that God just won't heal anymore, whenever his word says that he will. Listen to me. It's not because you deserve anything, not because of works that I've done. I don't deserve anything. It's all because of the mercy and the grace and the love of a Savior who gave his life on Calvary and completed the work before I ever knew him. Before I ever heard his name, he loved me. Before I ever read a scripture in this Bible, he died for me. He paid the price for death, for sin, and for my healing. Now I can walk in victory. Well, I woke up with aches and pains this morning, but Jesus, you suffered so much that it's worth it for me to deal with these light infirmities, with these short-term things. If I could just be there with you in heaven one day, if I could just be saved, if I could just be delivered and live with you forever, I know my sin debt is paid. I don't deserve anything. I'm just glad to be here this morning. Do you feel that way? I don't deserve anything from Jesus. I'm just thankful to be in the number one more time. I'm just thankful to be a follower of Christ. I'm thankful to know the truth today. Listen, we need to call on the name of the Lord. My time's at an end. I want to leave you with this. It is finished. Jesus paid it all. Call on him this morning. I love you all. I'm praying for you. Listen to me. God bless you. Get up and find somewhere to go to church today. Get in and worship the Lord, not for what he can do for you, but because he's worthy. God bless you all. We sure love you. We'll look forward to being with you again next time. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you again for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford. Please follow on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you can get information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and God bless you.